in. Just to give you a little bit of the background to the text that we've taken tonight, you see here that the Lord is speaking of the favour that he has shown to the high priest. In the first couple of verses there, you will see the details regarding that. And it says in verse 2, "And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan." If you were to look at that in the original language, you could read it, "Rebuke thee, Satan will, Jehovah." There's no question about it. And it shows to us several things concerning God's people. It shows us the sovereignty of God, that he is in control. Whenever a man of God is in difficulty, there are many other trying circumstances that the devil would seek to heap upon that difficulty. And he's showing here that now he's coming and he's rebuking Satan. And he's showing to Satan that he is showing favour to the high priest. And in doing that, he uses figurative language. And he says there is not this a brand plucked out of the fire. And that is where we leave the background tonight. And we want to look at these words, and in particular to concentrate upon the word fire and the word brand. I mentioned figurative language to you earlier on there, and in figurative language, sin is typified by fire. And there are so many parallels that can be drawn between them. Sin destroys the comfort of mankind. Sin destroys the joy of mankind. Sin destroys the peace of mankind. Over there in Jude, in verse 23, it says, "And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh." The reference there is to being delivered from the fire. And as I mentioned just a few seconds ago, fire, like sin, destroys almost everything in its path. And it's doing just that for many people tonight right across our province. It is dominating every area of man's existence, and it is ruthlessly pushing aside all attempts at meaningful restraint, at self-reform, at every endeavour to be a better person. And sin is proudly displaying, in all its characteristics, it is proudly displaying this characteristic, that right up there is a characteristic of Christ rejection. Christ rejection. We can also say concerning fire that fire spreads rapidly. You see folk there in the Australian bush and these other places, and you hear about these big bushfires, and people miles and miles away from it are all fleeing their homes. You think, well, why? Why are they doing that? Then I remember years ago thinking, why? What's the big problem here? Can they not just wait until it's near their house? It might touch it after all. Well, then I learned that bushfires can travel at the same speed as a horse galloping. And that changed my thinking on the whole thing. And sin, men and women, is something that we play with to our great cost. Over there in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, we've read so many times about the man who is known as the prodigal son. It says there in verse 13 that he come to the father and he gathered all together. That was the first step. It wasn't. Because now his feet were going to head towards the far country, but his heart was already there. His heart was there before his feet. And he gathered everything together, and he took his journey into that far country. He wasted his substance in riotous living. That was another step downward. And then it says, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, those animals which were despised by his particular type of person, by the Jews, and that's what he was doing. And not only that, but he was more than happy to feed upon the filthy husks that the pigs were eating. So sin is something that can spread very, very quickly, dominating the life and coming in a most subtle way, just like a spark of a fire. The wind comes along and before we know there are fierce flames following. People try to deal with sin as if it deal with a fire, and I've mentioned earlier they're trying to, in a meaningful way, restrain themselves and to get on to victory ground without knowing the victor, the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes they think that the fire of sin has been put out only to discover that it is alive and well. The other day I was putting out the ashes. I think we had the fire going fairly late at night in the house. And as far as I could see, the ash, it was out. So I gathered the ashes up into the bucket and still thought it was out. And took it all out and threw it into the bin. And then a few minutes later, I went to speak to Charith about something happened. Look out to the window, smoke everywhere. Couldn't believe it. And I had to go out, and Charith was at the sink busy filling all these jugs and containers full of water, and I was out putting the bin out. Thought the fire was out. It wasn't out. And folks, maybe you think that as far as you're concerned, you have at least a good enough control upon sin. And as far as you're concerned, for now, anyway, it's out. We want to tell you clearly tonight, if you've never been to the Lord Jesus Christ, then however you may feel that you have suppressed your sin, the fire is not out. But the root of the problem has not been dealt with, and therefore, sin is alive and well and dominating in your life. It has dominion there. In Hebrews 3, and it's the verse 13, we read these words. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Through the deceitfulness of sin. You cannot play with fire. From the earliest days, we warn our boys and girls, don't play with the matches. And preach as we may, right across our province tonight, men and women are determined to continue to play with their sin. So we've said that fire is very destructive. We know it ruins lives. It wrecks homes. It spreads very rapidly. But brethren and sisters, as we look at these words tonight, is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? The overall thought here is of deliverance. Yes, the matter has been urgent. The matter has been urgent. The flames soon envelop the brand. What is the brand? The brand is a dry little twig that is found and placed into the fire. And I want to say to you tonight, unconverted person, that your case is far more urgent than ever you thought it was. Where will you spend eternity? That question must be answered tonight. Because now is the only opportunity that you're guaranteed. It's very important as we go through this message to remember that God's hand had to pluck this brand out. And what a joy it is to know that we're saved. The hymn writer said, I was thinking about it this afternoon, knowing, oh, the joy of sins forgiven. Maybe many other things in the world that don't bring us much joy, but oh, the joy of sins forgiven. Forgiven. And those who have been born again of God's Holy Spirit, they are brands from the burning. And that is my title tonight as I look at these words. And I'm going to seek to look at them from three different angles. These words at the end of verse 2, a brand plucked out of the fire. The title is, a brand from the burning. A brand from the burning. And the great question, above all, that you need to ask yourself is this. Are you a brand in the fire? Or a brand out of the fire. I want you to notice here, first of all, as we look at these words in a certain way, that there is a grand show. There's a grand show here. Think of the first three words there. Is not this? This really is words that are speaking to people who are absolutely astonished at Joshua's preservation. Jehovah God has preserved him. And he's held forth now as a trophy of God's power and grace. And therefore, the Lord says, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Satan would have it to be altogether different. But the Lord really is presenting this person as a trophy of what he is able to do. And he's saying really, is this man not just like one of those twigs that has been snatched out of the hard coals? And it is really a testimony to my power and to my grace and to what I can do. And folks, whenever you and I look at that, and we look at it in the realm of the sinner snatched as a brand from the burning, we can say that every conversion is a miracle of grace. And every person that we have here in the pulpit testifying, they really are a trophy of grace that are being held forth by the Lord. And it is a grand show. We're hoping to have that lady in 2 or 3 weeks' time coming that was blew up. Coming along to give her testimony and tell of God's grace and goodness in her life. And what will we have in the pulpit when she comes? We will have a grand show of what God is able to do. And why is it a grand show? Well, it is a grand show because all who give their testimony here in the church, they have been delivered from the pain of an accusing conscience. The pain of an accusing conscience. It's a lovely verse. I'm sure you know it well, but like all the other verses in the Bible, it bears repetition. It says in Romans 8 and verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And it says, "There is therefore," you need to look at the preceding verses. Verses that will tell us all about what God is able to do, all about what grace brings to the man or woman who's turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. And while life is not perfect, it never will be this side of eternity. Sin can still trouble us. It can rob us of our joy. It can hold us back from serving the Lord from a full heart. We can still be deceived. We can still be tripped up. We can still get it all wrong because we're human. But when the work of grace has been done, then that conscience is hushed forever. And the pain of an accusing conscience is gone. The apostle loved to talk about that over there in the book of Acts. And he, Acts chapter 24, verse 16. He speaks here in verse 15 of his hope toward God. He's seeking to defend himself now, and in doing that, he steered what he has to say round to telling what God has done for him. And verse 16 is a verse that really says it all. It says, "And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man." Men went out of their way to take offense at what he said. But while Paul, again, was not a perfect man, he was certainly void of offense toward God. Why? Because that day on the Damascus Road, he was plucked as a brand from the burning. And that is why a testimony is a grand show. Didn't Paul speak of testifying from door to door? Isn't it true to say that when a man or woman or even one of the younger people stand and give their testimony, there's always a good audience for them? We want to hear what God has done. And inevitably, as you listen to them, you will hear them speak and tell how the pain of unforgiven sin and accusing conscience, it's been dealt with. But not only is there a grand show when a man or woman is converted because the pain of accusing conscience is gone, the panic of an uncertain future is also gone. Now we can worry about things. We've often said how different life would be if we didn't worry. We didn't ever worry. It would be so much easier. But the fact that you and I worry is another reason for us to continually cast all our care upon Him, knowing that He careth for us. But what a blessed thing it is for men and women tonight to know that while they may panic about other things, we need not panic about our future. We used to panic about an uncertain future. I remember a fellow used to come along to gospel meetings. I think he went to 9 weeks of gospel preaching in a row and missions. And he used to come out of the meetings sweating, shaking. Why? Because he was panicking about an uncertain future. And then after 9 whole weeks, he went to a Free Presbyterian church. He'd gone to brethren missions. He was all over the place listening to the preaching of the word. And then after 9 weeks, he came and sought the Lord and was gloriously saved. And there was no more pain and no more panic concerning this uncertain future. There in the book of Acts and the chapter 1 and the verse, I'm not sure exactly what chapter it is. We're thinking here of the Apostle Paul again, when he was able to come and to speak regarding his future. And to testify that as far as he was concerned, the past was gone. That troubled him at times because it was a dark one. But he didn't dwell upon it. He said, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark. That's the verse. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You see, now his future was absolutely certain. No, they stoned him all right. They accused him, slandered him. They beat him up. Christians who should have stood by him, they deserted him. But through all of that, he was still able to testify and to say words to the effect that I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And every person who gives their testimony can say, near so very near to God. And you can say this tonight, Christian, near so very near to God, more near I cannot be. For in the person of his Son, I am as near as he. And that's really what it means when it says we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Everything is different. And there is a grand show regarding the life of the Christian. And as the Lord says here, is not this? It's as though he's holding up this trophy that he has delivered from the circumstances he was in. And he's saying, is not this a brand out of the fire? This is my doing. And it's changed everything for this person. And I asked you tonight, has everything been changed for you? Or whenever you go away from the meeting, is there still that accusing conscience? Knowing, and we know well what it's like, knowing that it's not well between you and God. Knowing that there's sin, that there's enmity there. That peace with God has never been sought. And is there also not only the pain of an accusing conscience, but panic regarding an uncertain future? None of us know the future. But Christians sing, I know the one who holds the future. And that makes all of the difference. So there is a grand show here regarding this brand from the burning. But I want to look at it from another angle and say that there's not only a grand show, but there's here genuine hope. Genuine hope, look at it again, is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? We can really look at this here as a person who in his time of great necessity, everything else would have failed for him. It was the Lord had to come and to do this. Nothing could help the high priest in this situation if the Lord didn't come along and step into the whole situation. And this country of ours, like every other country, is full of people who are searching. And they're exhausting every avenue that opens to them. And they're still searching tonight because they can find nothing that they can lay hold upon and nothing that will lay hold upon them and make all of the difference in their life. But the Lord is holding this man up as an emblem of true hope. And the sinner tonight who comes and casts himself upon God's mercy, we can tell you from past experience, he will not be disappointed. Well, you could say a whole lot of things regarding that tonight, concerning this genuine hope. And I say there is genuine hope here because men and women generally in the world, when they're being really honest, many feel hopeless because of tried to latch on to so many things and nothing has done them any good. It's a great danger, I might add, for Christians as well to go down that path and to start latching on to things There are certain things that God can allow us to enjoy, and we can have good fellowship and good fun in certain things and a bit of sport, and all of that's all good. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and that is an absolute necessity. I want to say tonight, when I say it here, that he won't be disappointed. Unworthy feelings are no barrier to having this to be snatched as a brand from the burning. Unworthy feelings. Remember the woman in John 4. We're not going to take time to turn to her. She was a very frank and open person. We also want to add that she was a very sinful lady. And she acknowledged all of that to the Lord when he spoke at her there at the well. And she was looking for water. And he told her of that water, that if he gave it to her, she would never thirst again. And right away almost she says, "Give me this water that I thirst not. Give me this water that I thirst not." Now, if that woman had taken a close look at herself, and she did say she had 5 husbands, and the man she had now, she admitted that wasn't her husband. There was nothing in that passage at all that commended that woman to the Lord. And yet she came. And folks, don't be looking in your own heart tonight and coming up with these excuses and barriers and saying, "Well, there's this and there's something else or somebody else, and really I'm not unworthy tonight." He makes us worthy. And up until that moment that we come to him, there are none of us worthy. So don't let these unworthy feelings be a barrier to you. We can also say that unhelpful decisions in the past are no barrier. Sometimes people make a decision. They're in a confusing meeting where there's no call to repentance, there's no emphasis on being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and people are sort of, if you want to make a decision for Christ, everybody put their hand up. People come away confused, maybe elated for a wee while, and then desperately confused after that and don't know where they are. Clear it all away tonight. And don't let it be a barrier to you. And remember this, unhelpful decisions in the past, and there are plenty of them about, they cannot be a barrier tonight. Unworthy feelings are not a barrier. Uncaring accomplices are not a barrier. Do you ever think of this tonight, unsaved person? There may be people that you know who don't want you to get saved because of your friendship with them. They don't want you to be converted because it will affect them. Maybe they like you as a person. And they don't want you to come to the Lord. I heard that young fellow's testimony, a young man's testimony in the radio this morning, and he was in the pub and caught up in all kinds of bits and pieces of trouble and all that. And he went and has told his friends right away. And he said they'd give him 2 weeks. Dear friend, don't be put off by things like that tonight. Here is a genuine hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the only hope. You can imagine the people gathering around here when the high priest, he's delivered out of this, and the Lord is making sure that everyone knows that it's his doing. When people are delivered from their sin, there has to be a change. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. People know. Do you remember Peter and John? They take note of them, that they had been with Jesus. People knew. There's one other thing I want to mention here. Unfulfilled endeavours are no barriers. I know a story of a wee woman one time. She was running around the country here in Northern Ireland whenever there was a gospel mission on, inviting everybody to the mission. And she was saying, "Now, will you come along, I'll get you along to the mission here. You need to get saved." But the man who was involved in the mission, he heard some details about her, and he came to her and he said, "Dear, you know, this is great what you're doing here, but are you saved?" She said, no, but all lesions need to be saved. All lesions need to be saved. There was a woman who was in every way the very best of a person, but she herself had never been converted. And I could bring you to plenty of people like that. Round where I used to come from, there are so many people there around that part of the world who would do almost anything for you or for me. And there's so much in their life that they can hold up to you and say, "Well, here's how it's been with me." And you'd be hard pushed to find something to criticize. But men and women, the main thing tonight is to look away beyond anything that we've ever sought to do, any endeavor of ours, and see our sinfulness. From the crown of the head right to the sole of the foot. Man is all bruises and wounds and putrefying sores. There's nothing commendable in him. Someone mentioned all our righteousness has been as filthy rags. But here is genuine hope. We can also say, certainly concerning this brand here, that a brand, this little dry twig or stick that would be taken out of the fire, snatched out of the fire, there would be marks of the fire upon it. Marks of the fire would be there. It may be blackened a little bit. And there's many a man or woman who still bear the scars of their sin. And we've heard them testify, some of them have been unwell because of what they were involved in before they were converted, be it drugs or alcoholism or something else. And they have that physical ailment because of that. And you know that the marks caused by sin are there. But nonetheless, they've been snatched as brands from the burning. They've been snatched as brands from the burning. Hebrews 6, and this is verse 17, I'll just read it to you. It says there in Hebrews 6 and 17, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Now you need to ask the question again, it's round to you, sinner. Have you laid hold of the hope set before you? That is Christ. When I say laid hold of him, are you resting upon his substitutionary work? Are you recognizing his satisfaction at the cross? Are you conscious, as far as you're concerned, of his ability to save you for eternity? That's laying hold of him. And that's what every Christian has done. They have laid hold of him and they have a genuine hope. So there is a grand show here, is not this? The Lord is holding him up as a trophy. And then there is the genuine hope that nothing else could deliver him. But I have a thought here as well. You can picture the situation here where the Lord is presenting Joshua and he's saying concerning him there, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. I will clothe thee with change of raiment. Verse 4. And everything is pointing to his great standing. To his great standing. And you see, the thought that I'm now at is this, that when God plucks something out of the fire, it's never going back. Oh, the marks that it's already been in the fire. And let's be honest tonight that men and women, even as they live, are, as it were, being affected by fire because sin is affecting their life if they're unconverted. And therefore we have to say that so many tonight are already perishing just as they are. But if you are saved tonight, you're secure forever. God never plucks a man or woman out of the fire and then because of human weakness or inability or frailty, take us and throw us back in again. That'll never happen. The Christian standing is good tonight. And the work that has been wrought in his heart can never be undone. You know, I must finish this evening, but there is sometimes what is people call the living dead. The word says, she that liveth in sin is dead while she yet liveth. That person is in very poor standing. They're on no foundation whatsoever. And yet if men and women will trust the Lord Jesus Christ, they have a great standing. It's as though the Lord's turning to Satan here and he's saying, look at this. Here's a trophy of grace. It's a grand show. It's a brand plucked out of the burning. No one else could do that, only me. So there's not only here this grand show and this sign of genuine hope for this person, but there's a great standing because he'll never go back in again. Christians have their failures and their weaknesses and many things that are beyond them and that they cannot do, unlimited regarding their ability to achieve even for the Lord. But you know, when the Lord saves a man, he saves him forever. And the only way that you can be lost tonight, Christian, is if God perishes first. Because he has you in his grip. an unsaved person, as I looked at this brand from the burning tonight, I wonder, is your heart not challenged? This is something that I want. To be as a brand plucked out of the fire. It's a lasting thing. But opportunities don't last. And tonight is a golden opportunity for you. Come. Turn to Him, the only one. The only one who's able to make you a trophy of grace. The only one who's able to deliver you. The only one who can give you that standing. It's all grace. The hymn writer said, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." He didn't paint over what he used to be. And you know, without Christ, man is nothing at his very best but sinful. But with Christ, he's made a new creature in Christ. May the Lord help you tonight to come and to be that brand that is plucked from the burning. I want to emphasize, just as I close, that He will pluck you tonight as a brand from the fire. There's no question about that. The promise is, come on to me. That's an action. Come on to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Would you not come? Maybe you've been losing out for years, and tonight you're determined to say in your heart, from this night on, I'm living for the Lord. It's not going to be easy, but I'm determined to get back into fellowship and to live for the Lord tonight. I'll be at the meetings as far as God will allow me to be at them. And I'll not be like Peter, we mentioned this morning, who is following afar off, but rather, I will be living my life, like the apostle who said, to me to live is Christ. And that can be your experience tonight, if you will come to Him. We do thank you.